Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And you know how I know it's Johnny? He's wearing a name tag.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic.
Anyway, what's going on, buddy?
Not much.
You feeling better? Johnny's been under the weather, guys. Let's give him a collective hug.
Virtual hug. Fine. Don't touch me.
All right. So this is episode 73. We're closing out 2016 in style with our certified infamous list.
Please say that five times fast because you just...
certified infamous list. We're talking certified infamous small screen wonders today with the best television of 2016 with our top six picks.
With our best 2016.
Yeah, right. And just like with the... Well, not with the movies, but unlike with the movies, these are not shows that all were new in 2016. These were the shows that we looked at as the best in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So.
One on my list ended.
Yeah.
And one was more of a mini series.
And one on my list is in season number 20.
Okay.
Anyway. But before we get to that, there's some fun news that's happened. Mainly a bunch of trailers. But the first things first, we are both big fans of IDW Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
We love their Star Trek books, the Ninja Turtle books. I'm digging the Mask book. Mm-hmm. Revolution was a really cool miniseries. I like the Rom book, but I don't like Rom as a character enough to keep getting it. But, Lock and Key.
We're just saying they publish some good
stuff.
They
do. Lock and Key, The Cape, all that fun stuff.
Right.
They were based in San Francisco or San Diego. They're moving up to Portland.
Uh-huh.
So they have...
Not a bad place for a comic book publisher to be.
And to be honest, it seems like Portland is the new capital of comics. So
don't say that. Now Marvel's going to shut down their New York offices and move to Portland.
Hey, sweet.
No,
I want to move to Portland. Anyway. Well, then all the characters will be based in Portland.
Blah.
They'll all have beanies and drink a lot of coffee and be sarcastic with weird facial hair and jeans that are two sizes too tight. But the other thing about this is they're kicking off a new imprint, which they're calling... Oh, where'd it go? It's called Woodworks.
Okay.
And their VP of marketing, Dirk Wood, is going to be the creative director for it. Dirk's a cool guy, so I think this would be pretty interesting.
Makes kind of sense.
And it's something he and Ted Adams had kicked around. The other cool
thing... What is the plan with the imprint?
They didn't get like super into it. There's a link in the show notes. But it's more just kind of, I think, further down the indie line. It looks like it's still going to feature some like things about film and TV and art and history and that kind of stuff.
Well, I didn't know if they like
Manifest Destinies. That's
Image.
Yeah, sorry,
but I didn't know if they were like planning on just having an independent, art writers for Woodworks.
Yeah,
I think they do have a lot of licensed properties.
I do think it looks like it's more of the
like a Vertigo type.
Yeah. So they're
not
they're,
strictly horror, but just Vertigo never was strictly horror. And that's what, people say that all the time. And it's like, no, Vertigo did more than just horror.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're also kicking off a magazine, which seems to be pretty popular. Image Plus is actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Even outside of just the Negan thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. It's comic book news. It's interesting. We're both fans of the publisher. So, it's exciting to see.
Sorry, I can't move to Portland. I know they probably have jobs open, but...
We'll see. But anyway, all right. So then next up, we have...
Come on.
We had three really interesting trailers come out in the past since we recorded.
Imagine if Austin still lived.
Oh, that would be cool.
I'd move to Orlando and go be
a
copy boy.
A copy boy, huh?
Sure.
Oh, copy boy.
Well, a lot of the...
making copies.
A few of the artists and writers that were working for them lived down there because of that.
You're right.
And they never moved because they realized, oh, it's nice down here.
It's sweltering and hot and covered with mouse ears.
Oh, that's okay.
Anyway. So three trailers came out.
Yeah.
For me, they kind of ran the gamut of how excited I am for them.
Okay.
So the first we'll go with my kind of middle of the road.
Okay.
So we'll start with, you know, just the one I was okay with, and it was The Mummy with Tom Cruise. Looks cool.
Yeah.
It's basically Mission Impossible meets archaeology.
Yeah.
So
I don't, I mean, there's stuff that happens in the preview where I'm like, okay, this is going to take a lot of explaining.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Solid cast, Tom Cruise, Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Sophia Bonella is playing the mummy.
Yep.
So, you know.
And she, like, you know, I'm all in to see this movie.
Yeah.
But as far as like opening salvo of a trailer goes, it was kind of, I'm not like,
it was more
interesting to see
the fallout of the trailer because Universal came out and said that Dracula Untold is not part of the universe that they're starting to set up with this movie because it is a beginning of a universe.
Oh, yeah, they're going to throw in Frankenstein's monster and everything.
Well, Russell Crowe is playing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I did not know that. Yes. But that is the coolest freaking thing I've heard.
That's the one thing everybody was like. It's like, is he really playing? And it's like, yes, he's really playing Dr.
And
Jekyll.
So
and
he's
Mr. Hyde.
Actually Dr. Jekyll in this movie.
I guess in a certain point in this movie, you might see Hyde.
Okay. Because, I mean, they totally updated. I mean, it's
modern.
It's modern.
It is,
and like,
but they said that, like, I guess because Dracula Untold originally was going to be part of that.
Yeah.
And I guess because it wasn't a success.
You mean it was a raging crap fest?
Many levels, yes. I still haven't seen it.
It was a raging crap fest.
Right. So,
other than Luke Evans, who I am a huge fan
of. Right. And I mean, that's the thing is, like, they could have left it alone enough to say that Luke Evans was going to be,
right,
you know, Dracula still. Because he is a solid actor, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right.
Nobody fights like Gaston.
Yeah.
I'm
no.
curious to see how he is as Gaston.
It'll be interesting. That was a great trailer. So, you know, but
I just Gaston, I thought bigger and bulkier and Luke
maybe
Evans.
He'll bulk up a little bit. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, like Chris Hemsworth, when he walks around, like normally he's a pretty svelte guy. And then for Thor, he's like,
right.
And like, you know, Mark Ruffalo, he's just kind of pudgy guy, but then he bulks up for the Hulk.
Wow.
I'm kidding. Mark Ruffalo rules. All right. So then the one that I was
kind of.
My sister
agrees with that.
Yeah, I bet. Your sister's probably like, hey, Mark Ruffalo.
That's Mark Ruffalo. That's her.
She's like, hey, Mark Ruffalo, let's go on a date. And then the date's halfway over. And she's like, hey, Mark Ruffalo, why don't you move in?
Oh, that isn't right to call her out like that, man. That ain't cool.
And then after 2 weeks, she's like, hey, Mark Ruffalo, get out.
Oh, my God.
I love JV.
Now you're on the hit list.
Oh, that's I've been on and off the hit list over the years.
Well, you're a solid hit on the hit list.
That's all right.
Now.
All right. Now, the one that I was totally like, I've seen all these movies in the theater. I might not go see this one was Transformers The Last Night.
You're full of shit. You're full of shit.
Well, I always say that. I always say I'm not going to see the Transformers movies, and I'll be there the first night. Yeah.
My whole thing is, hopefully I get a pass.
Yeah. I mean, wow. You want to talk about a steaming crap fest. This trailer is, first off, all over the place. I have no idea what the story is. What I would love it to be is that maybe anonymous or, like, you know, not anonymous, but, like, they could tie it into Mr. Robot.
Oh, God.
F Society hacked Optimus Prime and made him go bad. Like,
you're killing me.
That would be so cool.
No.
That would be awful.
No.
But
this is the one where Unicron's going to show up.
Well, yeah.
And instead of Unicron turning Megatron into his servant, he's
going
to have Optimus Prime.
Well, because Megatron's long gone.
Right.
But
he's not. Remember, he was in Age of Extinction.
He was a little bit there.
He's got a new body.
Kind of forgotten.
Now he's Galvatron.
But, you know, I don't like if they like it looks like he kills Bumblebee in the trailer.
No. See,
everybody's strictly
freaking
for the trailer.
Out about that. And
he's
like,
not going to kill Bumblebee because Bumblebee is the character that all the kids love.
My thing
for
is,
whatever
is
reason.
Bumblebee's the bad guy.
I want to know when they're going to bring Jazz back.
He's dead.
Bring him back.
No, he's dead.
Jazz Lives Matter.
No. Oh, God. Here we go.
I totally miss Jazz. I mean, he is my favorite Transformer, so.
He wasn't that good in the movie, though.
No, he was horrible in the movie.
Well, but
he
didn't deserve to die.
Yeah, and they killed my second favorite with Ironhide.
Ironhide's gone. Ratchet's gone.
I was glad to see Ratchet go.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Bumblebee and my Prime are the only ones from the first movie. Yeah,
they're the only OG movie Transformers left. But.
Because, yeah, literally, what, the third one, they killed everybody?
Yep.
And yeah. By the fourth one, they killed what they didn't kill in the third one.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, here's the thing. It's a Michael Bay movie, right?
Could you just do Bad Boys 3?
Yeah.
Why do I need a Transformers 5? Give me a Bad Boys 3 and make it better than Bad Boys 2.
Oh, my God. This is the fifth one, isn't it?
Yes.
Ugh.
Second trilogy.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, let's do Bad Boys 3. Let's start a petition.
He should have done that a while ago.
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. So then the last trailer. Let's end it on a high note.
Who would play Martin Lawrence's son?
Oh, who would play Martin Lawrence's son? The kid that plays Junior on Blackish.
Okay.
He would be good. Because he's like 15, 16, you know, so he would have been the little one.
Right.
You know, kind of. It, timing works out.
Yeah,
that would be cool. He would be a good one because he's funny, like in that unassuming way, and like he does the unintentional comedy really well that's written for him.
Right.
So, but then like,
would Will Smith's character be married?
No, he couldn't.
You think he still would?
No,
be
he'd
like,
be gay.
No.
Yeah, because it was been like, oh, he was overcompensating.
Oh,
and that's so they could get the diversity in, right?
Okay.
And then it's kind of like the whole thing from. 6 degrees of separation when he didn't want to be a gay character, but now he embraces it, and like everyone's like, "Oh, Will Smith is so enlightened."
So who would be his husband then?
Martin Lawrence.
No, Martin Lawrence is married.
I know. I'm kidding.
Alfonso Ribeiro.
yeah. No, the dude. Who was Sawyer on Lost?
Mm.
James.
That would be interesting.
What's his name?
Josh Holloway. Holloway.
Yeah. Josh Holloway would be his husband.
That would be awesome. That would be kind of interesting.
And then he'd be like a badass like cop from like Fort Lauderdale or something.
Yeah.
You know, not Miami. He I don't know.
Holy shit. Michael Bay.
We just formed some weird shipping like
Michael Bay.
No, he's actually Sawyer. Sawyer didn't die on the island. Oh, didn't nice. Tie it all
well, he
together.
Didn't die on the island. He didn't. He was one of the ones who survived.
Yeah. All right.
He actually made it off in the plane.
Can we talk about Guardians?
No. We're talking about Lost now.
Oh.
God, Lost.
We haven't been drinking, I promise. All right. The Guardians of the Galaxy trailer
drugs,
was so good. It was, you know, the first little teaser was funny. Like, we got to see more. We got to see way more Rocket, a ton more Baby Groot. We got to see Mantis.
Yes.
Once again, Dave Bautista stole the everything about the trailer.
I almost peed my pants. I was laughing so hard.
I mean, so you get the Rocket Baby Groot thing.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
fun. He's like, don't touch that button.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
You got to say it like a little kid. Like, I am Groot.
And then the okay, go through it again. I am Groot. Uh-huh. I am Groot.
Yeah, when he does that, I'm like,
I am Groot.
Why is
no!
Rocket the only one that understands this guy?
And then he's running away. I am Groot. But
no, when he chases the Ravager guy across the bridge.
But no, once again, Bautista, man, he is like,
yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what the change in the character is.
Do me. I want to know what his deepest, darkest secret is too. But
him laughing. I'm like, you know, Bautista in the WWE universe.
Oh, he was
a serious character,
the Beast,
and that. But it's like, you know, seeing him laugh and the hug thing in the first trailer, and that is just like, if this guy needs to be doing more comedy.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like you look like he was good. Like he was good in WWE with his character. But like you look back, like he was on an episode of Smallville. He was really good, right?
Yeah.
But he was a badass. He was the only thing I liked in Spectre, the James Bond movie. And actually, like, spoiler alert, well, it may or may not be a spoiler, but like when his character dies, well, or what I think it might be, he dies. But like when it looks like he dies, I just turn the movie off.
Oh, really?
I've never finished it. I never went back. I thought that movie
watched
was,
it yet.
Like, it was garbage in a can.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, James Gunn has this these characters so dialed in, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm at the point where I'm thinking I don't want to see them in the rest of the MCU.
They're going to be in it.
I know they are, but it's like, let's use them sparingly in the MCU so that we can have this and, like you know, have the second franchise, right?
Right.
The cosmic. And you know, add, like, you know, Nova.
Sure.
Add, you know, whatever. You know, they have a bunch of them. You can add Angela. You can add
Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock.
Yeah. The Collector.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have the Collector. Well, but, I mean, yeah, but yeah,
the more Collector and more of the story.
But I mean, they could do like the Badoon. They could do more of a Kree story where it's not just Ronan the Accuser.
Right.
I don't know where the Skrulls lie,
Howard
if
the
it's
Duck.
Fox or not, but
the Skrulls are part of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Universe,
so,
which will soon enough probably be part of the
Let's hope.
Universe.
But I think. You know, where, like, don't get me wrong, I love the normal MCU. I love the movies. They're great. I just think with Guardians, they've taken a lot of different chances that they don't with the mainstream
right,
ones.
Yeah.
Like, even with Doctor Strange, like, you could tie the mystical stuff into space as well.
Right.
Because, I mean, the Eye of Agamotto, spoiler alert, was an Infinity Gem.
Right.
Stone. Are they gems or stones?
Stones.
Yeah. Because in the comics, they're gems.
Right.
So, anyway.
Stones or gems, they've been referred to as both throughout the years. Yeah,
they're infinity artifacts.
Well, they kind of are in the MCU. I mean,
yeah, because they're different, they're
because they're
different.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't remember them ever being in, like, you know, the
gaseous
thing that
form,
the one is in
the
Guardians,
Tesseract
and that. I mean, the Tesseract is the cosmic cube,
yeah,
and that. So it's like,
so my thought is the Tesseract. Cosmic Cube is not one of the stones.
No.
So
it I mean, whatever's inside of it is.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So. Just like the gaseous thing.
Yeah.
Dark World.
The Aether.
The
Aether.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Mind Stone that was in Loki's scepter. You know, everything's inside of something else.
Yeah. Now it's inside Vision's head.
Yep. So anyway.
That's the only one where I groan because I'm like, oh, why did they do that? Because they had to bring him into the universe somehow.
Yeah.
Because Thor had to have a friend that was among the Avengers.
There had to be someone else who was worthy.
Yeah, well.
So, anyway, but no.
Yeah, his name's Beta Ray Bill.
Exactly. Yeah, whenever you get Beta Ray Bill would be great in the Guardians.
Well, right. Introduce him in Thor and then have him show up in the next Guardians movie.
Who would be a good voice for Beta Ray Bill? On the spot. Go.
Sarah Jessica Parker. Zing.
Wow. Wow. Showing no love for the Cincinnati native. Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
She was folding Louisville.
Let's see. You're Johnny's opinions, dude. Can't even get through. No, like, in all seriousness, no,
down, Horsey.
Who would be a good voice for him? Because there's part of me that wants to say, like, Daniel Day-Lewis with the Lincoln voice.
No,
Lincoln voice, because you wouldn't expect it.
He is a serious actor, damn it.
Well, yeah, but God, could you imagine him as Method, as Beta Ray Bill?
I'm not understanding how this character works. He carries a hammer around?
He looks like a horse. He's an alien.
Do I have to put a horse head on?
He probably would.
He would?
No, like, I was thinking someone like Bruce Greenwood would have a good voice for Beta Ray Bill.
Do you want a name, though?
Yeah, I guess it would have to be.
You want
a
name because that's what will attract people because, you know.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman would be a great voice for Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah.
And he's getting old, so, like, he can't be Cable. Or shouldn't be Cable. Let me.
Oh, are you talking about that?
I mean, that's what the fan, like the fanboys want that. But
Stephen Lang, baby, Stephen Lang is Cable.
So I've never seen Avatar,
dude.
But
just go on to YouTube. I'm sure that you can type in Stephen Lang Avatar and watch a scene with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just hardcore. Like, he's hardcore built.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen what he looks like, and
then,
seen
like,
other
he's
things
in
with
that,
him
in
it.
Don't Blink or whatever, that horror movie that just came out.
Oh, okay.
And he's playing the blind guy in it.
Oh.
And they said that, like, he was really good in it.
The dude who's Stick. Scott Glenn.
Oh, Scott Glenn.
He would be a good voice for Beta Ray Bill.
Ed Harris, too.
Oh, yeah, Ed Harris would be.
Any other guys from The Right Stuff? Dennis Quaid as Beta Ray Bill.
That would be great. Speaking of The Right Stuff, we should have led with this, but R.I.P. John Glenn.
Yeah.
He died today.
I didn't hear.
Yep. He went to the hospital this morning and then died around like 4 o'clock. Mm. Wow. So yep. That's
2016. The year of death.
FU 2016. But yeah. Hey, he had 95 missions around
the
sun.
Hey, death. How about just sweep through the political areas?
Or how about the cast of Twilight except for Anna Kendrick?
No. Kristen Serratos is in that cast too from Walking Dead.
Yeah,
I know. It's still nothing's happening on that show.
You mean The Crapping Dead?
No, it's not even that. They all crapped a while ago. Yeah. They're like skin and bone at this point.
Fear the Crapping Dead. Anyway, all right.
No, it should be called Nothing's Happening. That's why everybody's Walking Dead.
The Nothing Happening Dead.
Anyway. I haven't watched this week's episode, but I can tell you that, like, the last
I mean, two... so, like, David has been watching because he has to for Collider, and
I'm
and,
sorry, like,
he,
David.
Well, but he gave up on it. Like, he's like, I stopped watching it altogether.
So,
and, like,
Collider, yeah. If you need somebody to come on and watch your show for you, I'll take that bullet.
The one guy Josh watches. And, like, a bitch. But, like, he's a guy who was like, man, Walking Dead is really good. I don't like Westworld.
What?
Yeah. I don't know. That's all I can say about that right now. Anyway, let's get to our top six shows each.
Yes.
So I kicked off movies. Why don't you kick off TV shows?
Okay. Are we doing this one-on-one thing?
Yeah, we'll do that. I mean, we can just kind of go through however.
So my first we'll one on my list, it's not in any order.
We only have one crossover.
Right. We'll save that to last.
I think you were kind of surprised by. Maybe a little.
Not at all.
Okay.
By what we crossed over?
Yeah.
It's what we watched from HBO, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I have more than one HBO show on my
list. Well, I figure you would. I left Game of Thrones off of my list on purpose. Because we talked about it.
Well,
and
I'll get to that, but there were other HBO shows that I felt like could have put on.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to cheat and be like, oh, well, this HBO block of programming. So anyway.
Like you're getting a paycheck from HBO or something? Like, or like they slipped you some money?
So
my first one, it's in no particular order, but I'll do this one because this was the last season, was Person of Interest.
Right. And this is a show you've recommended to me several times.
And now I recommend to you more because you like Westworld.
I do like Westworld.
So Jonathan Nolan created Person of Interest.
Right.
Jonathan Nolan is in charge of Westworld. Yeah. I wouldn't say he created it because it's been around forever. Mm-hmm. The things that are happening on Westworld are things that were also questioned on Person of Interest. It's just more of a network TV show.
Right.
So I can't recommend that you skip stuff because there's a lot of story in there. But
it's what five seasons or six?
Five.
Yeah. So, I mean, once it's done, I'll go back to it.
It's done. This was the last season.
I'm saying, but once it's done and it's all on Netflix, I'll probably check it out. But
it's just, you know, especially now with you watching Westworld,
yeah,
because it involves an artificial intelligence.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The machine is the main factor in the story.
Okay, because I mean, it's got
Emerson,
Michael Emerson, who
Jim Caviezel.
I'm a big fan. Jim Caviezel, I like. Amy Acker was on there.
She
for
shows
a while,
up eventually.
She's a big
fan.
I'm a big fan of hers. December 5th birthday partner. So you know, that's another reason.
Yeah,
I
she
like
comes
her.
On later on, but like the first season is
she's a bad guy too, right?
She's a gray character, and what's her name? Therese Henson, who's on Empire now.
Oh yeah,
she was on the first few seasons, and you know, I'm not going to spoil what happened to her, but
she's in that new one with the NASA scientist, the hidden equations or whatever. That looks really good.
But yeah, she.
Angel and I have talked about going to see. Yeah,
the first season was just her and Caviezel and Emerson.
Okay. Oh, cool.
So like they were just the main characters, and then there was a lot of. Secondary characters,
and it ended
and
in
then
the,
eventually one of the secondary characters becomes a main character. Okay. Also,
it ended in the spring, right?
Yeah, it ended in the spring. They pretty much rushed everything and ran it like 2 episodes a week kind of thing.
But it's an hour long.
Yeah,
okay,
hour long,
or well, 43 minutes whatever
series. Yeah, yeah, I think like each season was pretty much 26 episodes.
Ugh. Maybe I won't.
But I mean, it's a solid show, right? Like, and it has like stuff that happens in the first season affects stuff that happens by the end of this show, and that, so it is a solid story. And cool. I mean, it's Jonathan Nolan is a really good storyteller, and everybody who worked with him on that show were really good storytellers.
Sweet.
Jim Caviezel was really good. I liked him in.
Is he in it from beginning to end?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I liked him from Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
And then Emerson, obviously.
I really liked
Lost.
Him in Frequency.
Yes.
Like Dennis Quaid.
Yes. Yes.
Like.
That's the first thing I think I ever seen him in. And he was what?
Yeah,
he was
Jesus too.
Christ.
Yeah, he was Jesus in Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
All right.
But
cool.
Yeah, Frequency, I really enjoyed that movie.
That show got canceled already.
Oh, wow.
Well, surprised. It's fine. Leighton, or not Leighton Meester, Peyton, whatever last name.
Peyton List.
Yeah, she can go back to Flash now as Golden Glider.
Yes.
So they need
why she hasn't been on.
They need to lock her into that, like,
they should.
Wentworth Miller.
They should lock her on Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah.
No, because I want her and Cisco to get together.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So, person of interest. Why don't you do a couple and then I'll do a couple.
Okay. My next one, Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life.
Okay. And that's the Netflix
four episode. Yeah.
Oh, it's only four?
It's four episodes, but they're each
90 minutes.
90, a little bit over.
So kind of like Sherlock.
Yeah. Yeah. And believe me, it you know, it feels like a full season crammed into an episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They do a lot, and they do a lot of nods to the show, and they do a lot of nods to, you know, what's happened between the end of the show and what's happening now, internet and all that, and they're, you know, tweeting, and because that was pretty much not what 10 years ago that
when did the show end
10 years ago.
2006.
Yeah.
Okay. And do they time jumped where it's 10 years later?
It's 10 years later, pretty much. No, it's actually, yeah, it would be 10 years later because I think Rory was 22 and in this she's 32.
Okay. Yeah, I never
and it
watched
has
Gilmore
a
Girls,
it has a cliffhanger. That,
oh,
like,
really?
I was like, well, if this is the way it ends, it's okay, but hopefully they come back. Yeah.
I mean, I know people were excited for it, and, you know.
I shed a couple tears. There's a couple times where I was like, you know, I love the show.
Yeah.
I thought the show was really a well-done show. I actually started watching it when it was on, and I didn't get to finish it until, like, I got the DVDs, but it was a really well done show.
Yeah.
Amy Sherman Palladino created it, and she was in control until
she
the last.
She left
the last
season. She left to go do something else.
Yeah.
And
then
I forget what it was.
Her and her husband did this.
Oh, cool.
So they co-wrote pretty much everything. And I think she directed two of them and he directed two of them. And you definitely get the vibe. I mean, Edward Herman passed away. He played the father, grandfather, but there's a good nod to him in the show.
Oh,
and that, and then, you know, just everybody came back, so it was cool. It was really fun to see. I mean, they even got Melissa McCarthy for an episode. So,
oh, very cool.
Yeah, that was
cool. she was on for a long time, wasn't she?
She was on there pretty much up until the end, and then, you know, what, a year or two later is when she got really hot with the comedies and that. I think Bridesmaids was 2 years after Gilmore Girls.
Okay, Bridesmaids.
I think that's what really like put her on the map as comedic.
Yeah,
because nobody watched Gilmore Girls, obviously.
Yeah. Amy Sherman Palladino was a writer on Roseanne for 4 years. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That show was a good show to have people come out of. Joss Whedon worked on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Roseanne. Yeah. We've talked about that. She did Veronica's Closet with Kirstie Alley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She did, what was that? 2 years. 2 years on that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool.
Yeah, right. I do hope that they do another 4 episode. It was cool because it's a season.
Yeah.
So the song, you know, the song was, can't remember the name of the artist now.
Sing it.
Carole King, I think. Okay. Winter, Spring, Summer, and Fall.
Okay.
You know, that song. Yeah. So each of the episodes was Winter, Spring, Summer, and Fall. It actually ended with the fall.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm like, you could bring this back. Mm-hmm. You could even jump ahead a couple of years and, you know, they could wait 2 years and make it where it's 2 years later because of what happens in the cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
So,
neat.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, they even got Jared Padalecki back.
I didn't know he was on
the show. He was on there. He was on the first season. So, like, they got him back for a small scene. They got Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes.
And This Is Us.
Yeah. Oh, is he on that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's one of the best parts of that show.
Okay. Anyway. So that's my two. Go ahead.
All right. Well, kind of one of my first ones is season 2 of Daredevil.
Okay.
I loved it. You know, I don't feel like I'm in like a minority of people who loved it because I know a lot of people liked the first season really well. I loved the dichotomy between Elektra and what she was trying to do and the Punisher and what he was trying to do and watching what Matt would forgive in each one of them and what he wouldn't. And I think, you know, the theme of this season was you're one bad day away from being me.
Yeah.
Right. And we talked about this. I mean, we went all in on our Daredevil review. But you know, this, the way Stick came back, having Scott Glenn back for as long as we had him, the throwback to season 1 with the ninja, the one he killed.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, I just had a brain fart. Anyway, but then the hand, and then the stick, and then, you know, Kingpin.
Yeah,
like it touched on everything, and I think where, you know, Luke Cage felt like it was too long.
Yeah,
you know, like Luke Cage suffered from not being 8 episodes. Right. This is one of the few ones where it's like, you know what, 13 was perfect because it was essentially 2 6 episode arcs.
Right,
They meshed together. And like, you know,
they did the same thing that they are doing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, where the Ghost Rider story is ending and there's something else coming.
Yeah, I haven't watched last night's.
I haven't watched like
I watched last week's
last 2 weeks. So
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been good. But we're like The Walking Dead fails, right?
Yeah.
It just does one group per episode.
Right, yeah.
And like, because they give them every other week off. Having that mesh the two stories, right?
Yeah.
So you get the full season of like storytelling.
Right, yeah.
But it is definitely two different parts of the story. There is the A story, which I feel like is the Punisher. And then the B story, which I feel like is Elektra. But yeah, like I said, like... you know, the hallway fight scene this time out down the stairwell and everything was amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, John Barenthal is just a machine as an actor. He delivers every time. And then the woman who played Elektra, whose name?
Elodie.
Yes. She was perfect. She was, you know.
Elodie Young?
She is what, like, her voice and everything is how I heard it in my head when I read the Electric, when I read the comics and Electra's there. So.
Well, she was awesome in that G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah,
played Jinx.
Yep. And then.
And she was awesome in that.
You know, and then Karen Page and Froggy Nelson.
Oh, like, yeah, everybody.
They just built on what we had from the first season. Yep. So.
They're evolving characters and the fact that it's not following the thing of the comic book, but it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Foggy going to work for Jessica Jones' boss is kind of a cool setup for Defenders.
To work for Trinity.
Yeah.
I like it. And then my next one is South Park.
Okay.
South Park for the last few years has been on a creative high.
Okay.
And with this season, with the election going on and, you know, taking shots at Star Wars, and they have these little things called member berries.
I've heard about those.
And like, so they were like, member when, and like, you know, it was like, oh, what was it? It was member wedge. I remember Wedge. He is fantastic. Okay. Yeah, I remember. You know, and it was like, it's just hilarious. And it's just this random nonsense. And, you know, basically what it is like the nostalgia factor. Yeah. They are the nostalgia factor. They're why we all liked The Force Awakens.
Sure.
They're all why we, you know, brought, like, you know, why Donald Trump is president. Like, you know, you know, Matt and Trey. And, like, you know, you get to a point where you get to this arc in their story, and then you meet the older member berries.
Okay.
And the ones like, remember Stormtroopers? No, the real Stormtroopers.
Oh.
It's like, oh my God. Yeah, okay. You know, that it's like, that just got really, really like dark.
It's that whole thing where you get a classic Star Wars fan and second
trilogy.
World
War II fan.
Well, yeah.
No. You get a Star Wars fan and a World War II fan.
Well.
And it's like, you know, remember Stormtroopers? Yeah, I remember who they were based off of.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But then, like, there's the whole thing with the election. There's this whole thing with internet trolls. It's just, it's so relevant. And you know, they have really, over the past maybe 3 or 4 seasons, gotten into these season-long arcs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just nail it. And knowing that, you know, it airs on Wednesday, they don't even start until Friday.
Right.
Like, you know, laying out the next show. It makes it all the more impressive.
Because they're just doing it on the fly and, you know, using what's happening in the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
And hands down, Eric Cartman is one of the funniest characters on television.
Okay.
Just hands down, you know.
I mean, well, those mystery boxes that we talk about all the time. They did a full line that's just based off of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that tells you who's the most popular character.
But, like, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's just been.
He's still eating his cheesy fries.
No, the cheesy poofs.
Cheesy poofs, that's
Ma'am,
it.
Ma'am, I don't like you.
Catching cats on fire with his farts.
Yeah, no, that's that's season one, man.
I love that, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm not, yeah. But, yeah, it's just so, like you look at, like, Family Guy and Simpsons and stuff like that. And they're funny. But they're not relevant. They're not. Let me rephrase that. They're not timely, because it takes 6 months for them to do an episode. Like, because they animate it, they voice it. You know, it's just, you know. But South Park has just as high production quality at this point, because everything's done.
And
on
they're
computer.
Just doing it with construction paper.
No, it's all on computer now.
I know.
But, when they started, it was all construction paper. And I think it felt.
That was
felt
more
paper
impressive
as well.
To me than anything that this animated series was doing it with construction paper and. Belt and pipe with those pipe cleaner things and that.
But like
that's pretty awesome.
Mr. Garrison is the president.
Okay.
And he's a fill-in Trump.
Okay.
Which they had the choice was the douche, which was, you know, Garrison versus the turd sandwich, which was Hillary Clinton.
Nice.
It was so funny because, you know, they've just done that. I don't know. It was just so refreshing to sit there and watch the irreverence and just the humor and to see this show 20 seasons in to still be at its creative peak.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, you want to do another one?
Sure. Star Wars Rebels.
Star Wars Rebels. Love it.
Yeah. It's what, 5th season at this point?
Fourth.
And bringing Grand Admiral Thrawn into the mix.
It was so cool to have that
happen. Yeah, and he's played by Mads Mikkelsen's brother.
Yep.
Lars Mikkelsen.
So,
and he's kind of they're doing the creep factor hardcore with him.
I'm an episode behind you actually, which is almost never happens with Rebels, but
love Rebels.
I do love Rebels.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's been this season, and this is not in my top 6.
Right.
And to be honest, I don't think Rebels is in my top 10 for this season right now for what's happening on television.
That's it. I quit.
But there's just been too many departure episodes, you know. There have been one too many just kind of droid focused things for my liking. I really like what they're doing with Ezra.
Yeah.
But I feel like every time they kind of inch him closer to like the dark side or the light side, they kind of pull him back to the middle.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, let him go a little further down that path before you yo-yo him to the other side.
Right.
Because he is, and you know, the way Filoni and team are treating this character, he is skirting that line of light and dark constantly. But they're not letting him get too far one way or the other. And it's like, it would be nice to see him get a little more, like, light side.
Right.
And then something happens and it's like, I have to tap into the dark. And now here I am going this way, this way. And then bam, right back to the middle.
It's going to take one of the main characters getting killed for him to be pushed darker.
Well, and from what I understand, Maul will be back in the next episode. So I definitely am going to get
the hunt for Obi-Wan Kenobi is on.
Kenobi.
I think if they bring Kenobi in, you'll kill Maul this time.
Yeah.
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 You'll have to.
I think so. Yeah. Now, do they bring Jesse back as the voice of Obi-Wan, or do they try and get Ewan McGregor?
Either or is fine, actually.
I mean, they both sound like Alec Guinness.
Yeah.
But I almost said Alec McGuinness.
Alec McGuinness.
I agree.
I just enjoy. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy.
For me, there was
just
a whole bunch of other stuff that has been better than this. Like, you know, and it's a little too uneven. David and I were talking about this the other day, actually, and you know, you get those big like tentpole episodes. You get, you know, Twilight of the Apprentice. You get, you know, Ahsoka versus Vader.
But it seems
I would have liked to have seen something going on
in this season. Yeah. Is building towards Star Wars.
Yes. And it has
a new
to.
Hope.
But like new there's hope there's just a whole bunch of Clone War there's some Clone War stuff that they've opened kind of a little more can of wormsy.
I think they had to acknowledge
and
like,
they need
the past
to kind of cut
too.
That off. They need to kind of tie some of that stuff up.
When you have a clone as part of your group, you have to acknowledge that the Clone Wars happened. So. And the way they did it was cool because you know, having the battle droids fighting the Empire was like,
and that was awesome. That's my favorite episode of the season so far. Followed really closely by Sabine and, you know,
Wedge
kind of
and all that.
All of that, yeah.
Remember Wedge?
Yeah. He's fantastic.
Look at the size of that thing. Because that's his one major line.
Remember Chewbacca again. That's what they did. Like,
oh my
it was so
God!
Funny. Anyway, dude, like, don't get me started. Like, the KB-07 gets so pissed when I go into like, this morning I woke up and like, remember when you were getting out of bed? Remember?
Oh my God!
Because she was taking forever, and like, you know. Anyway,
do you want me to do another one? Or
yeah, do one more.
Okay. I'll do Girl Meets World. I really like this show.
Cool. Now, did you like Boy Meets World?
I did.
Okay.
I was a fan of that show. That's, what, 90s?
Yeah.
And by that point, I was pretty much an adult. So, yeah. But I really enjoyed it.
Are you really an adult now?
You know. This show, it's like, you know, Boy Meets World, The Next Generation, obviously.
Yeah.
And
because it's Ben Savage's little girl.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's him and Topanga actually got married in the show in the original Boy Meets World. And
did they get married in Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know
they
it went
were
that
in college.
Far.
They were married in college.
Okay.
And at this point, you know, they're both living. They're all the family's living in New York. She's a lawyer. He's a teacher because he was destined to be a teacher.
Wasn't he a pain in the ass for all his teachers?
Mr. Feeny.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Feeny. But
I mean,
Feeny was the neighbor.
He is Mr. Feeny now.
Nice.
He is kind of the Mr. Feeny. He's the one guiding them
through,
like, you know, the episodes are pretty much, you know, they come into class. He's got something written on the board and it's the episode.
Okay.
But it has to do with history because he's not an English teacher. He's a history teacher.
Okay.
So, you know, it could be the Battle of the Bulge, and it's going to involve
something the kids are going to have.
But the kids that they cast are really talented.
Cool. I mean, it's Disney XD. So just like Star Wars Rebels,
Disney XD. But I mean, it's the original producers and writers, and what's his name? Ryder Strong directs a lot of the episodes
because he was the
friend. Was Sean. Yeah. He was Ben Savage's character's friend. And that
now has my boy.
Everybody shown up.
Okay, I was gonna say has Will shown up.
Oh God, yeah. He's off kilter character in that show, anyways. So yeah, he's been in a few episodes.
So like I did,
but his episodes have been episodes where they've been taught something too.
Yeah,
even though it's from his point of view and kind of crazy.
Now is he like the crazy uncle that's trying to get her?
He's
to
a
do
crazy
stuff,
uncle.
You know?
Yeah.
Now I didn't watch all of Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
So and it was on ABC, right?
Yeah.
It was a TGI.
Yep. TGI Friday. Yeah.
And like from what I remember, I liked the stuff I saw. It was just kind of one of those things. Like I think I was in high school when it was on, so there was just other things.
Yeah, it was late.
DVR
90s,
wasn't
so,
a thing,
right.
So I just kind of missed out on it.
I think it's all on Netflix.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I know. Like for this one, we watched the first episode.
Yeah,
and she just wasn't interested in it.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, she still likes iCarly. So,
and
that's similar.
The thing
it's
is,
a similar,
it's
yeah.
similar without too much similarity.
Yeah,
like it has.
Well, it doesn't have the music, right?
Right.
Like she's not trying to be a pop star. Or
no,
anything like that.
She's just being a girl, you know. And
nice,
yeah. You know, her friends, and they utilize her friends a lot.
Okay,
where it's like, you know, yeah, this does feel like Boy Meets World because the friends were always part of the story.
Right.
It isn't just about the girl or the boy that's part of the title. I mean, like, the last episode I watched was fun because it was a Christmas episode.
Oh, cool.
But it confronted them all with the idea that they don't really know each other that well.
The
group of friends that's, you know, the clique, I guess you would call, of friends.
Sure.
Don't know each other as well as they thought they did.
Yeah.
And that. Because because they do a white elephant type gift exchange.
And they all get mad.
And they don't know what to give each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're really confronted with the idea that, yeah, we're friends, but we don't know each other.
It's not like us.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you know,
I mean,
like,
you know,
for I think we give each other pretty good gifts.
Yeah.
That are.
It's just, you know because, you know, I remember being a teenager and friends and that. And it's like, when you went to school with people, you knew them at school.
Yeah.
And yeah, you hung out with some of them outside of school.
So my like, you know, I agree to an extent.
Yeah.
Like, I had a little different experience because I went to much smaller at the time, and you know, the people I hung out with at school
were the people you hung out with,
I ran with,
right, yeah,
I you know, hung out with, I spent summers with, I worked with, that kind of stuff. You know, in college a couple of them I lived with,
whereas you know, my high school, everybody lived in different parts of the city,
so it was a little harder, you know?
But it's just an interesting thing because it's like, you know, you when you're a person, an adult or a teenager, you have a lot going on. So you do have close friends and then you have not as close friends. And if, you know, I put all those people together and ended up with somebody that I know, but I don't know.
Right.
It'd be a bitch of a time to buy a gift for.
Yeah.
And it's like they really acknowledged it well to the point where it was like, you know, by the end when they were giving each other gifts, they did it right.
Oh,
like,
cool.
It wasn't one of those things where it was like, you know, why did you give me this? And that they explained it, and it was like, it totally makes sense to me.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Awesome. Solid writing. Yeah. Solid. I mean, the kids have great comedic timing. So it's like, you know, they're going to be something when they get older.
Cool. Cool. All right. So you have another one.
Yeah. Did you go through all yours?
No, I still have a couple. I can do my next one.
Sure. Go ahead.
It's from FX.
Okay.
It's called You're the Worst. And this was the was the third season,
right?
It follows a couple named Jimmy and Gretchen.
Okay,
and they're both awful people,
right?
But they're awful people together, and they, in their own special way, love each other very, very much.
Yeah.
And then there's their friends Edgar and Lindsay.
Okay,
and Lindsay's married to a guy named Paul who's a super nerd. And then Edgar is he's a vet who's back from the war.
Okay.
And, you know, up until this, like, even through most of the season, has been dealing with PTSD. Edgar is my favorite character by far.
Okay.
Followed closely by Gretchen. And she's played by Aya Cash, who, you know, is, she's done a lot of stuff, like, here and there. But anyway, it's basically these four people who are just horrible.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like It's Always Sunny, where there's not a lot of redeeming qualities about them.
Yeah.
But like these four, they will hurt each other and, you know, do horrible things to other people and everything. But it's funny and it's cringeworthy. And at the same time, you know, it deals with things like depression and, you know, when you're an adult, what happens when your parent dies or divorce or pregnancy, that kind of stuff. So, like, but it's funny and it's dark, dark humor, which is, you know, obviously right up my alley.
Sure.
but it's really well acted. It's really well shot. It's just all around a solid show.
Yeah.
But they do things like they had like a Sunday Fun Day type thing.
Okay.
And like, you know, in their mind, they started Sunday Fun Day. And then in season three, a bunch of hipsters led by Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Like they followed them. They went to all the same places. Or no, in season two, they went to all the same places. And they're like, is Sunday Fun Day dead? And then in season three, it was a... haunt. They went to this like the most terrifying haunted house ever.
Oh, really?
It was like they were in the movie Saw, essentially.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then this past one, it was this massive scavenger hunt, and it was the last Sunday Fun Day. So like, you know, they kind of went all out. All
right.
And like, it was this thing where you didn't know as a viewer if it was Sunday Fun Day or if they were really breaking into someone's house.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay.
So it was this great, just great, like, scavenger hunt and mystery and, like,
yeah,
this kind of whodunit spy thriller type thing.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's...
Now, is that available on any of the...
So it's on the FX app right now, the current season.
Right.
The first two or three seasons are on Hulu.
Okay.
So...
Okay.
And then I kind of had another one that went along with this that I didn't put on the list, but Fargo.
Okay.
Was
we've talked about that.
Yeah. So, all right. So,
do you have another one?
I do have another one, and you have one more as well. Besides we get to our crossover. Right, yeah. So for me, Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah.
Another FX show.
Yeah.
It's Donald Glover.
Right.
Who
did he create it?
With his brother.
Right. Okay.
It takes place in Atlanta. It follows his character, Earn Marks, who's back from Princeton for
trying to get a job on The Walking Dead.
He got kicked. he's back from Princeton, and we don't know what happened.
Okay.
He has a girlfriend, wife. You know, there's that. It's a weird situation there, but they have a daughter, and he's trying to do whatever he can to make money. He's essentially homeless.
Oh, wow.
His parents won't let them stay with them. The baby's mom won't let him stay unless he has money to chip in for rent.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, and then he's trying to help manage his cousin, who is a rapper called Paperboy.
Okay.
And so it's kind of going through that scene and like, but like he is like, Earn is like one of the smartest people ever.
Sure.
Right. Like he's this awesome character and like he doesn't want to be this stereotype.
Right.
And like they go to these things and like he's like, I hate shots. And then, you know, three scenes later, he's doing shots.
Give me the shots.
But every time he takes it, he's like, I hate shots, yeah. You know, and then takes a shot.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of an alternate reality type thing. There was an episode called Everybody Loves Justin and it was Justin Bieber.
Oh, wow.
But it was a black kid.
Okay.
You know, so it was just, you know, and Paperboy ended up getting in a fight with him at a celebrity basketball game. So, you know, it's just, it was, eight or nine episodes, and when it got to the end of the season, it was picked up for a second season,
okay.
But when it got to the end of the season, I was like, oh, I need at least two more of these.
Two more seasons?
No, two more episodes.
Oh,
before,
wow, okay.
You know, like, you know, it had a different ending, but, like, it's, like, I've said it before, and I don't know if I've said it on here, but, like, it is the bravest show on television.
Okay.
They did an entire episode that was focused on his girlfriend and her friend, and they were just out to dinner.
Okay.
And like it was this amazing conversation. It's kind of like the haves versus the have-nots. You know, what's like to be.
Is it an hour or is it a half hour?
It's a half hour.
It's a half hour.
And like,
okay.
You know, they had an episode where Paperboy was on this like Charlie Rose type show.
Oh, nice.
And like,
okay.
That was it. And he was on with a, I forget the actor's name, but he was like he was playing a trans character.
Sure.
And like, you know, it's just. Huh. Man, it's so good. It is so worth watching. It's on the FX app right now. If you miss it, go buy it on iTunes.
Sure.
You know, or Amazon or you know, wherever. It is, like I said, it might be it's my second favorite new show of the year. So, all right. So you have one more.
Yeah. It's an Amazon series called Red Oaks. And it takes place in the 1980s. And Red Oaks is a club that is a tennis club, golf club, rich people club pretty much.
Is this like a Skull and Bones type thing?
No, I don't think so.
Like Secret Society?
No, not at all.
Is it horror?
It's comedy.
Is it really?
It is.
Okay.
So it has.
See, you don't. You
the
and
reason
I,
like, I seen that I started watching it is I seen Craig Roberts from The Fundamentals of Caring.
Right.
Is the star.
Okay, he was the kid in the wheelchair.
He's the kid in the wheelchair in The Fundamentals of Caring. He's the star of the show. It's about him and his fun during the summertime at this club. And that, and the people that he is, you know, deals with and associates with at the club, his friends, because a lot of them are, you know, it's local kids, like you said, Mason.
Right. Yeah.
Type, you know, like you grew up with and that. So a lot of them went to school together and they're all working at this club.
Okay.
Making their money for this.
Sure. They're caddying, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. The caddying, the tennis pros.
Working in the gift shop or the
lifeguards, yeah. Working in the yeah. gift shop, being yeah. servers and yep. the
bartenders.
And, yeah, exactly. Bartenders, all that type of stuff.
Groundskeepers.
And it's just the 80s vibe in this show
nice.
Is so awesome. And then, like, the, you know, Paul Reiser's in it.
Oh.
So.
Dude, I'm in then.
Yeah.
Paul
Reiser's in it. And I think it was the second season because I watched it all pretty much together. There is an aliens joke.
Oh, nice.
So you have to pay attention to that. There's literally two of the characters go to see aliens, and one comments about Paul Reiser's character from Aliens. And it's like, wait a minute. But yeah, Paul Reiser's in it. Richard Kind.
Oh, okay.
Jennifer Grey. Richard Kind and Jennifer Grey play Craig Robertson's parents. And it's hilarious.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's comedy, but it has...
Her and Richard Kind are an interesting... Like,
yeah.
That's an interesting
And
dynamic.
There's an interesting twist that happens during the first season. So, but yeah, it's a fun show.
Do you think Angel would like this? Is this something that she'd like?
I think she would, yeah. Because,
you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be wholesome
humor. It doesn't
humor,
get really dark.
But yeah, she doesn't like the dark stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't get really dark. I mean, you know, it's just... You know, if you went to college...
Yeah.
And you did stuff in the summer. Yeah. You worked, like, you know, there's the
local
park,
the beach.
Well,
because she worked
at
the golf course and
everything. Yeah, the golf. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, any of that type of stuff. Because I had friends who worked at golf courses. So it's like, I catch some of the jokes and I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I did crazy stuff when I was in that early 20s.
Yeah.
And that, but yeah, it's really just a fun show. I mean, if you like stuff from the 80s, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
okay,
that kind of humor, you know, not too serious, but not too non-serious, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, it's got a lot of heart. It's
oh, cool.
Fun. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's two seasons and both.
And that's it? Is it
so
is it
far?
Done? Okay.
I think it's coming back.
Yeah.
The second season just came on like in November.
Okay.
Right after I got back from vacation. I actually binged it in a weekend.
I mean, that's the beauty of all of this. It's all very binge worthy. All right, so before we get to the one mutual show we have, I'm surprised that you don't have Stranger Things on your list.
Yeah.
Is it just you forgot about it?
I think what happened is that because we talked about stuff,
sure,
I left Game of Thrones off.
Yeah.
I left
I didn't even talk about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I left Stranger Things off.
Yeah.
I left other stuff off that I really enjoyed that, you know, I just was picking the six that really stood out to me.
Okay, so Game of Thrones is on my list real quick.
Yeah.
Because I have not talked about it in this context.
Right.
This was my favorite season of the show.
Okay.
Benz and Wisenoff are superior storytellers to George R. R. Martin.
Right.
And to see them, the way they crafted and molded this universe finally out of the shadow of the books.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah, they're on their own
path. They're on their own
point.
Path.
Yeah.
And they've been on it. Like, you know,
it's a show where it's like I described The Walking Dead to people that have never read the comic book. The Walking Dead TV show is an alternate universe to what the comic book
is. And this is
And that's
same,
what from what you've told me about the books and that it's verged from that first season. Because the first season was the book.
When Ned Stark loses his head, right, it starts to take a little bit
That's
of a different
when the
path.
Path starts different.
But
Here's
the thing, is they don't, unlike The Walking Dead,
like
they don't write themselves into these weird corners
and
then have to randomly pull a tentpole moment out of the source material.
Yeah.
They have a plan.
Right.
You know, they knew going in, this is going to be this many series long, right? Or seasons, sorry.
Yeah.
And The Walking Dead is like, AMC's like, well, we'll just do it forever.
Right.
You can't do that.
No.
Like, you know.
They're catching up to the book at this point.
Yeah.
They are
But
catching
they skipped
up.
A bunch of stuff. To
well,
catch
they
up to
always skip stuff. So. But, I mean, it's one of those things where.
But the the last three episodes of the season.
So was that on your six?
Yeah, it's on my six.
Oh, okay.
Like, the Battle of the Bastards alone.
Yeah, that made the whole season.
This whole season.
Yeah.
But then the way they upped the ante with the last episode.
Well, and you've always had an issue with the finales of this series.
It's always been the first episode is a prologue and the last episode is an epilogue.
Right.
And the last two seasons, they have not done it that way.
Right.
And I think it has been for the better. We got the Bran Stark story,
yeah,
which had to be told, which is one of the more underutilized parts of the book anyway.
Right.
And Bran is a character that we keep being told is important. It's like when Sandman came to the DCU and told the Justice League, oh, Kyle Rayner's really important.
Right.
Show me why he's important. And then, you know, Geoff Johns did that.
Right.
But, you know, they've shown us why Bran is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting the answer to Benjen Stark. And, yep. You know, there were just things that got wrapped up this season.
Getting the answers to a lot of
right.
stuff.
There are things that got wrapped up this season that allows us to push towards the end game
right.
in the last 13 episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it definitely was like by the end of it, you were like, okay, this is the end of Game of Thrones. And yeah. now we're going to be watching the Game of Thrones war.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I'm yeah. looking forward to this.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely have predictions, and we can talk about that in our
yeah, I didn't know that was
looking
on your six.
Forward to thing. Yeah, but
it kind of left stuff off yeah. on purpose that we talked about a lot.
And you know, honestly, that this is how much I liked the show yeah. that like I needed to reiterate.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I enjoyed Stranger Things. I enjoyed Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like
yeah.
they
see. And I didn't like Stranger Things as much as you right. did. I enjoyed the end of Stranger right. the last three episodes, four episodes.
I'm curious
I did
to
not
see
like the
where they'll
part.
Go because it felt
yeah.
pretty much concluded.
It did.
Yeah.
Like, so. And I'm worried because they have these kids, right?
Yeah.
Like Toothless will have a full mouth full of teeth the next time out. So yeah, what are they going to call him, right? But also,
well, you
like,
get a nickname. You even if
I know,
you
I
know,
know
you still have that.
But
nickname.
You get these kids, right? And they start to overact.
Yeah.
Once they've gotten a little bit of taste of fame.
Yeah.
Like that was a real problem for like Sean Astin for a lot of his career.
Yeah.
You know, and so I hope that doesn't happen to these guys.
Right.
But because the kids were the best part.
Yeah.
Well, but,
that's what the story was about.
But the
so,
adult,
you know.
The adult stuff on its own kept this. It's Stranger Things season in my top 20.
Okay,
so, but again, that's
I'd
my
watch enough to yeah. have a top 20 anymore,
dude. I watch every. You know, it's just you know, I yeah. you sleep way more than I do.
Yeah.
So, all right. So our one you know shared
the
pick
mutual
here.
Mutual adulation.
You did it right.
Yeah, watched it all.
It
pretty
all
much watched it all at once.
Is Westworld?
Yes.
This is my favorite show of the year.
Yeah.
It was purposely slow in parts, where it needed to be,
dude. It's,
and it built tension
the slow
and drama,
parts.
And like, but the slow parts were intentionally slow to
once
build
you get
suspense.
To the finale, you're like,
and
oh,
then you get, yeah.
what? Okay.
If Tandy Newton doesn't win every available award,
yeah,
for this show,
yeah,
it's a travesty. Huh? You know, Jimmy Simpson, as William,
yeah.
If he doesn't
see,
win,
he's in Person of Interest.
Yeah.
He shows up.
Is
in
he
person.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he's in everything.
He was the well. He was the one where I was like, I'm like. Oh, okay. So I was wondering yeah. who was going to show up from Person of Interest because he's kind of a recurring character
okay.
in the last couple seasons.
All right.
And I'm like, I was waiting for somebody to show up from Person of Interest.
I mean, I love him. He's so funny. He's like, you know, he's when it comes to character actors of like that age
yeah.
group, he is one
he's
of
a really
the
good
best.
Actor. Yeah.
He is one of the very, very best because he's funny. He's a chameleon.
Yeah.
He can be whatever you need him to be. He was just on Thursday or Tuesday's episode of This Is Us.
Oh, wow.
You know,
okay.
He was on It's Always Sunny. He's a recurring character on that.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, his show Breakout Kings.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
Which was it's a pseudo spinoff of Prison Break.
Right.
You know, he was awesome. He was the only reason I watched that. But so, and I don't want to spoil a whole lot about
no.
this because we will at some point.
Well, especially since the finale just happened.
And so. We will at some point do a full season recap.
Sure.
But the look and feel, the twists that happen, the ones that were obvious.
The multiple twists?
but the twists that were obvious.
Yeah.
That they still pulled off and you were like, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, oh, hey, okay. I seen that coming, but damn.
the use of, you know, the actors that they have where it's like, where do I know that guy from?
Oh, right? Yeah. There's like, a bunch of those.
They have freaking Prince Caspian in this movie. They have the shitty Asian DK's shitty friend from Tokyo Drift as Felix.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
I was like, he's the one where I'm like, I know you from something.
Why do I know you? You know, Evan Rachel Wood.
Oh, yeah.
Is one amazingly beautiful still. Like, she's like Mia Kunis. She gets better with age. She is awesome.
Yep.
Awesome as Dolores. Anthony Hopkins was great. Jeffrey Wright is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bernard was one of my favorite characters on the show, for sure. But like you were saying, though, Jonathan Nolan and Joy.
I can't remember.
I forget her last name. Like, they did such a great job building this universe.
Yeah, adapting a 1970s movie into modern, you know, thought and that. And then, like I said, Jonathan Nolan probably is building off of what he had ideas for that he probably maybe couldn't use on Person of Interest. Because the idea of AIs becoming self-aware and doing stuff that, you know, you wouldn't expect.
Did you watch Ex Machina with Donald Loge, Domhnall Gleeson and Oscar Isaac?
Yeah.
It's very much in the vein of this, right? Or this is very much in the vein of that with the Turing test and Anthony Hopkins at one point is like, you know, within the first 6 months they were passing the Turing test.
Right.
And, you know, and if you don't know, the Turing test is a test that they give an artificial intelligence to see if it realizes it's an artificial intelligence or thinks it's a real thing.
Just watch The Imitation Game.
Kinda.
Well, he's the one who created
it. Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
And it's what terrifies me about AI.
Yeah.
And so, like, part of the reason I love this show, and again, I've shared this before, I am terrified of artificial intelligence.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, it's dogs and AI, in that order.
Okay.
And this does it so well that you are asking with every single character, are you a host? Are you a person?
Yeah.
And, like, even Felix at one point when he's like, you know,
yeah,
in that one episode,
she
where
looks at him and goes,
and she goes,
"You're human.
You're human. You're a very bad human." Yeah. But that's a compliment. It's like, right. Oh God, that is so good.
Yeah.
You know, they left just enough balls in the air.
Yeah.
From like, you know, like Shannon Woodward's character, you know, what's happening with her,
right?
To what happens in the very last scene. I definitely have a theory about that, which we will talk about at a later date. But it looks beautiful. The music.
Yeah,
the music on this show.
It's the same guy who does the music for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, but no, but there's that. But taking the modern music.
Oh, yeah.
And doing the
Black
piano
Hole Sun.
Like, but
Black Hole Sun. I was like, I know that song.
There's like 15 of them, and
they're on
Spotify, and you can go back and listen to them right now. Like I spent most of the other day with my headphones on at work, just listening to the. I think there's only six of the songs on there.
Yeah, because
just kind of over and over
piano,
and over again.
It's the Wild West piano reel. Where it's the old reels that they would put into the pianos. And it's Raymond Dewaji, I think is how you say his name. He literally had to adapt modern songs like Black Hole Sun.
There's a bunch.
Stone song I can't think of, but they've used it like in a lot of Vietnam War stuff. It was actually the theme song for a show called Tour of Duty.
Yeah.
Oh, and that. I forget. There's like a lot of recognizable stuff where you hear it the first time and you're like, wait a minute, what is that?
Yeah, there's like Black Hole Sun.
Yeah.
There's No Surprise, Paint It Black.
Yeah,
you know,
Paint It Black.
These are just
that's
some
the,
of
that's
them.
That's the Stones.
Let's see, is there more here? Paint It Black. This is the World. No Surprise. Dr. Ford. Yeah, I mean, there's just Fake Plastic Trees.
Well, you mentioned Anthony Hopkins. I'll mention Ed Harris.
Well, I was
Man in Black.
And the with the Man in Black, with the way the season ends for him. And then there was he was Xerxes in 300.
Yeah.
I forget the character.
Rodrigo.
Yeah. He was great. And his little friend with the snake tattoo
all over
her body.
Yeah.
She's probably one of the best robot characters.
I don't think we'll see them again, but hopefully we do.
I don't know, the she had an end credit scene. So when you watch all the way through,
oh, there was actually something at the
very
end.
Did you not watch?
I didn't watch all the way through the credits. Now,
okay,
yeah, I'll have to go back and watch that.
So she has
for the finale. You mean?
Yeah, of the finale.
Okay.
It's 10 episodes. The last episode's 90 minutes. Most of the episodes are right at that 56-minute mark. It is so worth watching. And
it's
and
literally like miniature movies, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally, like, there's so much going on that and we
I've
forgot,
watched every episode twice.
What's his name? The play Cyclops.
Oh, James Marsden.
James Marsden is in
as
this.
Teddy.
And I'm like,
Teddy is, yeah. He's this fantastic.
Clifton
innocent.
Collins is in this. Yeah. And I'm like, I seen Clifton Collins in the credits and I went, this show's awesome already. It's like, I love Clifton Collins.
This is one of those rare shows that, at least in the first season,
yeah,
just hit on everything.
Oh,
needed it to. It hit on humor. It hit on terror. It hit on drama. It hit on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like intrigue.
You said, Tandy Newton is one of the most terrifying characters on this show.
Yes.
And I'm like, I love her for that. Just, she scares the hell out of you.
And then you have Teresa Thompson from Creed.
Yeah.
And she was actually on Veronica Mars for a long time.
Well,
that's
what
I remembered her most.
We were
from.
Like watching when she showed up. I'm like, I recognize her.
Well, she's gonna be Valkyrie in Thor.
Oh, okay.
And in Thor that's Ragnarok. Yeah. Okay. So and I mean she's beautiful.
She was
and
in
she's,
that
yeah.
show Copper that I
yeah.
told you about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I was like, man, I'm like, I know I've seen her like besides Creed and something. And
yeah.
I looked it up. I'm like, oh my god, she was in Copper.
I mean, she's been in tons of
she's
stuff.
She's awesome.
She's great in everything. As Charlotte Hale. On Westworld, like
I'm talking
Charlotte
about Thor.
Was,
Thor's yeah, well, brother is in this.
What?
Thor's brother
yeah,
is in this. And they didn't show what happened to him.
Yeah, Luke. Is it Luke?
Yeah.
Hemsworth. Is
yeah.
that his name? Yeah.
They didn't show what happened to his character though.
Well, no,
they left
well,
that
that's
hanging.
One of the balls.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. They left that hanging.
And then the kind of I'll kind of wrap up here, but like the other thing is in the finale, we get teased.
Oh yeah.
About a bunch of different stuff and like. The
so like
scale, the size and scale
right.
of this world is not at all what we thought it was.
In the original Westworld movie, and I've told you
yeah.
this.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I mean,
and
you
I,
know,
I watched,
if you're
I
our age,
Future
you've
world
probably
and,
seen
yeah.
it before. But like, you know, there's
I didn't watch the TV show, but.
Yeah, well, nobody really did. There's Roman world, and there's medieval times.
And there's Future World.
And there's Future World.
And
the
there's
sequel.
East World, which we hear about, but we never
right.
see.
So in the finale, and it's not a spoiler, you get to see Samurai World.
Which that's the only place I would want to go.
And I'm like, could we get a story with these characters?
I think so.
Yeah.
So this is the beauty of this show, right? They're hosts.
Yes.
So they could go to a whole season with
well,
Samurai
sure.
World.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they can go through the same issues
yeah.
that the Westworld host went through. And like at the end or near like, you know, maybe after a few episodes. You tie that together.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, they work through that and they get to the next world and they tie that together with the ultimate goal of escape.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, just
really well done.
So
series.
Good.
That,
so,
finale,
so
that
good.
Finale was just like, you know, icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, it answered questions and it raised more questions.
Yep.
So, you know, definitely kudos to Nolan and his crew for
yes,
this.
Yes, sir. All right.
Thanks
so,
for Person of Interest
yeah.
and thanks for Westworld.
Yeah, no kidding. he covered a good chunk of your list.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was a great year for television. You know, we did movies last week.
Yeah.
I think it was a better year for TV than movies. And just
yeah.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. There's some things we'll talk about with our what we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
And there's some things I'm really looking forward to in 2017.
Okay.
Just from a television standpoint.
All right.
On that note, anything else to add?
Next week we'll talk about Spider-Man Homecoming trailer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we will give our top comic books of 2016.
Yeah.
And not books that just came out. It's,
yeah.
You know, there's, you know, a lot of that, you know, because we both, well, you introduced a book to us that we both fell in love with. So, all right. Well, on that note, we are the Infamous Podcast.
Yes.
We are online at infamouspodcast.com. If you like what you hear, go to your favorite podcasting app, which you're probably listening to us on right now, and throw us a 5-star review. We would love that. If you also like what you hear, you can check us out at patreon.com/infamouspodcast. And there's some pretty cool, like, what's the term? Like gifts and things like that that we've put together
incentives.
Thank you. For signing up and kind of helping support the show. So we don't have to do ads, which, you know, makes us happy. Anyway, and then we're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. All right.
Where can they find you?
They can find me at Brian Tudor on almost every social network. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
And you are online at?
Facebook and Instagram, mainly.
And occasionally Twitter.
Whatever I post on Instagram goes to Twitter.
Yeah.
And that. So Twitter just is a mess. So, you know, I stay away from that mess.
Anyway, and you're at Johnny Podorf on
I'm
all
at
that
Johnny
stuff.
Podorf. Yep. Yeah.
So, all right, guys.
Just look in the About Us. And
yep. Yeah, there's links
everything.
On the website. All right. Well, on that note, we went a little long, but that's all right, because
okay.
There was a lot of cool stuff to talk about. We will see you guys next week. So whenever you're listening to this, day, night, evening, morning, weekend, whatever it is, have a great day.
Thanks for joining us.
Later.